Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Once our family had a gray tabby cat named Rascal. And Rascal in his early years lived up to his name. He had a penchant for, although he was an indoor cat, for getting out of doors when we didn't notice. He would usually just stay out for a few hours or maybe through the night. Often, though, we came to realize that he got himself into some trouble along the way. Many times we had to take him to the vet for wounds, fighting wounds that he had that had gotten infected on his body. And it was the vet who informed us that Rascal was a better lover than fighter, because all of his wounds were on his tail or his haunches, his hindquarters, which told the vet that he was usually injured when he was running away from a fight. One early October morning, Rascal followed our two-year-old daughter and her friend out of the house and took off on another adventure. This time, however, the difference was that Rascal did not return. He didn't return later that day, or the next, or even the next. We didn't get to see his battle scars, so the dismay of our family, Rascal was lost. Anxiety was high in our household those days. Where was he? It was getting cold at night in southern Manitoba. Autumn winds were blowing. There was even a little bit of snow in the air. We searched our neighborhood again and again. We called his name. We spoke to our neighbors, and I secretly looked in ditches, hoping desperately that I wouldn't find him lying there. Rascal escaped our house on a Monday morning, and by Friday there was still no sign of him. Our anxiety now had changed to grief. Our next-door neighbor had at some point told me how they had lost two of their cats in the last year. They presumed that they had come back, but they were sick, and they presumed them to have been poisoned. So we began to talk about the likelihood that Rascal would not be coming home again. Sunday morning, Thanksgiving Sunday, I was at church preparing for the service when the phone rang. One of my daughters was on the other end, telling me with a lot of joy in her voice that they had found Rascal. That was quite a surprise for us. What an emotional lift we all felt after a week of worry and sorrow. Rascal had apparently ventured into one of our neighbors' yards that was patrolled by a German shepherd. And he had taken refuge at least 40 feet up a tree. Our neighbor had grown curious on that Sunday morning when, as he was looking out his window, he noticed an agitated squirrel looking up Rascal's tree, complaining about his trespass. That's when he discovered our lost and exhausted kitty. He was kind enough to climb all the way up that tree with a rope and a knapsack and to dislodge Rascal's claws from the tree trunk and put him in the bag and lower him down to us. Well, it was nip and tuck for Rascal for a while. The ordeal reduced him to a furry bag of bones. But we were also glad to have our cat back. And he did. He did finally recover. Although, in years to come, he was a little wiser. He would occasionally sneak outside, but usually only to get somewhere in the yard and then just kind of wait for us to come for him. He was never lost again. Well, as they returned to Jerusalem, Mary and Joseph were still in that anxious stage of things. Jesus was lost to them. They found him nowhere among the Passover pilgrims going home after the festival. Upon reaching the holy city, Mary and Joseph searched high and low for their 12-year-old son. One 3 days passed before they entered the temple and noticed a circle of teachers gathered in animated conversation with a boy. Their boy. Mary's anxiety shifted to anger. Jesus' disappearance had terrified Mary and Joseph for half a week, when all the time it seemed that her young son was happily occupied with scholarly pursuit. "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." We can understand Mary's vexation. She and Joseph thought Jesus was lost, possibly in trouble, hurt, or God forbid, dead, when all the time he was actually just hanging around the temple. Then their son spoke. Earlier he had been speaking with the teachers in the temple, amazing them with his wise words. Here he spoke, though, as a surprised son. "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" Jesus had not hidden from his parents. His presence in the temple was not a prank. He had to be there. The temple was his father's house. God was his father and he was his son. Jesus remained in the temple after the Passover at the pleasure of God. His words betrayed his own surprise that Mary and Joseph didn't understand this. But they did not. They thought Jesus was lost. Then they thought him inconsiderate and maybe mischievous. I always get that word wrong. I want to say mischievous, but it's mischievous. They couldn't fathom that he was doing the Father's business there in the temple. Though angels had long ago announced to Mary and Joseph their son's identity and his future mission, the ways of the Father and the Son of God were escaped them. They were astonished, uncomprehending, and speechless. They're not alone, though. My heart ached a few weeks back when I read about a California couple whose young daughter died suddenly. The parents, members of a charismatic church down there, turned to social media to ask people around the world to pray for the resurrection of their daughter. To my knowledge, God did not answer that prayer by raising the little one. And I fear that that may deepen the parents' grief because they seem to believe that her death was a satanic wrong that could be righted if enough people prayed for her resurrection. In fact, if the little girl remained dead, what did that say to them about Jesus? Was he lost to them? Where is he now for this grieving couple? We may all go through times in life when Jesus seems lost to us. We seek him, we pray, we read scripture, we come to church, but it seems to us as if he's far off from us. I recall feeling that way myself, that he was somehow lost to me in the autumn of 2008. I was suffering from anxiety and depression at the time. My workload in the East Kootenai Lutheran Parish was demanding. Our congregations were aging, and they were struggling to reach out to their communities. Some of our people weren't getting along very well. Some had left us for other congregations. I prayed for God's help during that time, but it did not seem to be there for me. Jesus seemed lost to me. But I was mistaken about this. Jesus was not lost to Mary and Joseph, nor is he lost to this grieving Christian family I told you about. Neither was he lost to me in the dark fall days of 2008, nor is he far from you in your times of need, even when it feels like he is. Jesus is God's Son. God is with us in Jesus. And he has promised never to leave us and never to forsake us. But he has not promised that we will never feel like that in life. Young Jesus told his mother that he must be in his Father's house, doing his Father's work. Mary did not understand her boy's words, but he was telling her that because of who he is, there would be times when he would not fulfill the expectations she had for him as her son. Joseph was not Jesus' father, though Jesus certainly loved him, and he later submitted himself to him when they returned home to Nazareth. God was Jesus' father, and it was absolutely necessary for Jesus to be in his Father's holy presence in the temple, for Jesus was born to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Jesus was born to give his holy life as the final and ultimate sacrifice to atone for the sins of the whole world. Our salvation was the business that the Father gave to his Son to accomplish for us, and nothing would turn Jesus away from that work. But later, even Jesus' disciples were astonished and dumbfounded by this. On several occasions, as the adult Jesus led his disciples to Jerusalem, he told them why he was going there. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. But they did not understand him. When he was crucified, buried, and then it was heard that he was no longer in his tomb, they thought Jesus was lost to them. But Jesus had risen, and he set his friends straight when he appeared to them. "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Jesus was born to fulfill God's promises written for us in the books of Moses, the Psalms, and the prophets, or in other words, the whole Old Testament, that declare to us that Jesus died and rose from the dead to free us from the power of sin and death. There are times in our lives when it seems to us that Jesus is lost to us, but that is never truly the case. The only place that Jesus was ever lost was on the cross, where he bore the sins of all people and suffered eternal condemnation for us. We are the lost ones, lost to God and cut off from him by our selfishness, our pride, and our rebellion. But God searched for us, and he found us by giving his Son into death for us. God raised Jesus from the dead to declare him forever found, forever alive, and forever savingly present for the sake of lost humanity. The Holy Spirit helps us to believe that Jesus has brought us near to God. Jesus shed blood, has covered our sins. And his holy life of perfect obedience to his Father has opened the door for us to live in God's presence and to serve him as his dearly loved children. God's good news of great joy, that he forgives our sins for Jesus' sake, and that the Holy Spirit has given us new birth through baptism, moves us each day to rebel against sin and temptation, and to submit ourselves to our Lord and his command to love one another. The Holy Supper of Jesus' body and blood proclaims to us that Jesus is truly with us, never lost to us. In times of trouble, doubt, or suffering, when Jesus seems far from us, his word of life and his confirming sacraments help us to live by faith in him rather than relying upon our feelings or our reason or our expectations. So we were lost, but Jesus was born to find us. Jesus was lost for us on the cross, but he lives and he has found us with his mercy. By his word and spirit, Jesus is making us fit to be raised from death, to live with him in the eternal glory of his Father's house that will be revealed when he comes again to judge and to reign. In Jesus' name, amen. May now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.